Good morning. It is December the 22nd, 2018. Kind of early in the morning, around 5:30. And no, there's no harmonica opening. I'm not sure I'm going to do that any longer. I don't know. My harmonica skills are so terrible. Just terrible, terrible harmonica skills. I've had a couple cups of coffee, so I'm doing okay, but if it sounds like I'm a little groggy, it might not be so much the time of the day or the hour of the day as much as it is the sort of the time of life or the slice of existence that we, all of us find ourselves drifting in right now. The time of the season, you know, it's winter time in Seattle, Washington, which means that it's dark and dreary. And it's funny because around June, it'll switch to, you know, manic and insanely sunny and a lot of just weird emotional transitions that have very little, you know, there's not a really good in-between state. But yeah, it's the winter time here, so it's dark and dreary. It gets dark around 3. It gets light around 7. I mean, that's more or less the deal. You know, it starts getting darkish around 3. Maybe it doesn't get dark, but 3 or 4 p.m. and it might as well be the vampires going to come out. I was thinking about my state of mind because I'm in a weird place, and as in most of the weird places I find myself in life, it is 100% of my own design. I am a few weeks away from being homeless, and that's not, you know, it's not something I haven't considered as a possibility in my life. Like, I never really thought that there's any guarantee that you're going to have money or you're going to be successful. In fact, success would have very little meaning if there weren't failures. And, you know, at times in life you fail. At times you make poor decisions. And sometimes you make the right decisions for the right reasons, but they have the wrong outcomes. You know, in my own personal professional life, I have made a deliberate decision to choose, or chosen, no, I have chosen to, I think protect myself. And I, when I say myself, I mean my psyche, my soul, over my pocketbook. And I think that this was kind of disastrous for my marriage, which, you know, I have to just freely admit. And it's been incredibly uncomfortable for my life. I don't know. I used to think of myself as someone who could bend, but the problem is, how far do you bend? I mean, this is the question, and thankfully, it's still a relative minority of people who have to answer this question. But this really is the question. If push came to shove and you had to choose between your life, whatever your life is, you might be a parent with children, you might be single, you might be gay, you might be straight, you might be really racist, you might not be racist at all. I don't know who the fuck you are. But you're at some point in your life and you say to yourself, well, I'm not perfect, but I think I'm a good person, right? You're a good person. And someone comes up to you and says, and again, this is about pressure points, okay? So let's say you're a parent, because this is easy. Your pressure points are your kids. And this dude comes up to you and says, listen, you can keep your job, you can keep your health insurance, you can keep everything you need to have a sound and healthy family for your children. And oh, by the way, your children won't be kidnapped or tortured or killed. But if you don't go along with us, your whole family life is in jeopardy. Your kids' life will be in jeopardy. It'll be shit. Now, you may think this is cartoonish, but the fact is there are people in the world today who live in countries that are further down the scary road of having a broken system, which is what we kind of pretty much have at this point. And they are faced with choices like, do I do the right thing or do I protect my family? It's all about pressure points. Everybody has one. I mean, I used to think I didn't have any pressure points, but you have to be completely detached from human society to have no pressure points. And that's kind of how the system works. You're going to obey or you won't, you know, you won't have food, you won't have shelter, you won't have love. You know, it's very much like Maslow's hierarchy. You know, the pressure points of contemporary society are geared towards every level. The food, the shelter, the, you know, you want to have a, you know, health care and have health, you know, education and enlightenment, religion, connection, spirituality. Every possible fractional layer of Maslow's hierarchy is covered by the system of pressure points. The frickin' social media operates that way. It doesn't provide all of the pressure points, or at least it doesn't provide all of the feedbacks, but it does give people that kind of groupthink dopamine surge. It does kind of suck people into the, hey, everyone's looking at me. I'm the coolest monkey on the monkey tree. You know, social media delivers a psychological benefit. So it's sort of higher up the scale of Maslow's hierarchy. But the bottom line is, if you want to eat, if you want to not freeze, if you want to have a life that doesn't involve sleeping in the streets, you're going to have to obey a system that you might not agree with. In fact, you might even want to fully rebuke. And because you're going to be in a minority, because the system is that good, it is that good at convincing people that it is the moral choice, that the fact that you were born into it, you know, social contract has condemned you, you have to obey. But you know, at least we're the best choice because look at all these good things we've done. And of course, you know, I'm talking about the United States of America. And of course, you know, you can say, well, Dan, whatever choice do you have? But you see, that's kind of my point too. If your response is what other choice do you have? You're kind of underlining really the really dark, really fractured, really messed up position that human beings find themselves in this country. You know, what other choice do you have? You have to vote Democrat. You can't vote Republican. You have to vote Republican. You can't vote Democrat. You only can vote for one of the two parties. If you vote for a third party, you're a crazy bad person. You know, you're the reason why Cheeto Hitler exists. And here's the thing. I didn't vote for Trump or Hillary, but everything about the political season of 2016, it still sort of stains the whole collective consciousness of this country right now. It's like, it's gross. You know, this whole binary, ridiculous thinking, but that's the way the system works. You're going to participate or you're going to fail. There's really no success date for non-participation. I mean, yeah, the history books, they might allow in. If something becomes a cult, you know, if people say, holy shit, you know, Malcolm X, he was important, then yes, they'll incorporate Malcolm X after he's dead. They'll incorporate people who actually were potentially positive influencers outside the system after they're dead and gone. Or maybe after they've gone through some life change, and in a podcast, it's hard to see sarcastic quotes, right? But after they've gone through some quote-unquote life change, and then it'd be like, well, I used to, you know, believe that everybody had dignity and, you know, the free society was the best society, but now I realize that we gotta have speech codes, blah, blah, blah. You have a pressure point or you don't. And if you do have one, you can choose to ignore it. And by doing so, you do so at your own risk. It really is that simple. Like, you will be isolated and pushed to the edge of society. And everyone, including people in your own family, are going to tell you that you're crazy, that you're dysfunctional, that you're bad, that you're evil, that you're lazy, that you're stupid. They'll call you any number of names, because at the end of the day, they know they had to make a choice. And especially if they are parents. Like, I'm single, I have no kids, and I'm almost 50. So there's just no likelihood I'm ever going to be a parent at this point, especially given the trajectory of American civilization. The likelihood that I'm going to be a parent is virtually zero. And this isn't some self-fulfilling prophecy thing. I'm so sick of the stupid fucks who misinterpret the symptoms for the disease. My choice to not want to have kids is not what's causing the problem, you stupid infinite growth fucks. The fact that my prospects are for shit is having an impact upon whether or not I'm likely to have a family. That's reality. But these pressure points exist. Families are really the worst because they're the most important. I mean, this is the bottom line. The most important institution in any society involving human beings is the family. We don't like talking about it because it's kind of like, oh, that's backward thinking, but it's true. And whether we like it or not, there appears mostly to be male and female genders. Is there some likelihood when systems break down that you end up with really weird sort of naked lunch sexualities? And I say naked lunch in the sort of the Burroughs sense. Yeah, you end up with a lot of strange things when societies fall apart. Do I think homosexuality is that? I don't know. But what I will tell you is this. By and large, families are moms and dads, male, female, fairly traditional, and they have been the core of human civilization. So if you knock them out, if you destroy them, if you completely obliterate them, and then what you replace them with is a kind of a pseudo-culture of whatever the latest fad might be connected to the latest domineering thought paradigm of whomever or whatever thinks it runs the world, if you swap A for B, yeah, you're going to have a kind of a gross, toxic world, and you're either going to participate in that and be okay with that, or you're going to find yourself essentially, you know, at the food bank, if you're lucky, really, because you can't even go to the food bank unless you have an address. I mean, this is the thing that people don't get, and I don't know if they're going to get, eventually they will. Is that for most of us, the less than perfect, the not so participatory in the system as it is, for most of us who simply get by, the American dream looks like a sick joke. And the pressure points are glaringly obvious. It's not subtle to see the walls. And that's another thing about the walls, if I can go off on that tangent for just a tad. You know, people talk a lot about the wall, like Trump wants to build a wall to keep out, I don't know, people from Latin America and other countries. I think the wall is stupid mostly because it has nothing to do with keeping people out. It has everything to do with keeping people in. But I've talked about that subject in the past, so I'm just going to table it for now. But the fact is, there are more walls than just the ones you see. The pressure point thing is obvious as an analogy, that you have a pressure point. You have family. You may have an interest in being wealthy. You may have self-esteem issues. Pressure points are understood. But another thing that's going on that's not completely understood is that there are walls everywhere. You know, some of these walls take the form of credit cards. Like, you pretty much... you have to more or less stay in the lines of the credit card world to do much of anything. I tried, and again, I failed, and fair enough, probably a big portion of it was my own human frailties, but I tried to get involved in kind of a cryptocurrency startup in 2017. And one of the things I learned about crypto is, A, crypto is far from being ready for anything like normal commercial transactions. I mean, I suppose if you're going to trade Bitcoin to buy a Ferrari, it probably kind of works. But if you're in the fractional universe of that particular mode of exchange, it's horrible. It has really non-deterministic behaviors. That being said, I tried to go off and get involved in the crypto world. And what I found is that really, just in terms of legal issues, in terms of social pressures, in terms of the entire society, what I found is that the attitude was, holy crap, what are you doing going outside the lines? It's like you're playing that game on Operation and you touch the metal barrier and the buzzer goes off. It was like the buzzer was going off all the fucking time. And then you add to that little bouillabaisse a lot of imperfect people and imperfect situations with lots of pressure, everyone wanting, desiring to live in a better world and knowing they're trapped in this one. So credit cards are walls. The financial system as it functions is kind of a wall. I live in Washington State and marijuana is supposedly legal, quote unquote, sarcastic quotes. But they still can't really use the banking system. Well, what the fuck is up with that? Well, it's because A, Washington State really never invoked the 10th Amendment. Now, that's a constitutional thing that an anarchist shouldn't really care about. But the point is, if Washington State had actually invoked the 10th Amendment, which means if it had actually taken the side of the people of Washington State, then it would be a non-issue. You'd probably have a Washington State bank. In fact, that bank would probably be pretty successful because overnight, you would have a state in this country where a business could actually conduct business. So yeah, it would probably pull in business from other states that have, again, crazy people, crazy beliefs. Anywho, there are real walls, and the way that our finance and credit system works is a wall. You behave or you touch the metal line and you get the buzzer. And the other walls have to do with what's considered appropriate thinking. Like we have a system of experts, right? And this is the thing. I used to believe that the system of experts was part of this whole large-scale efficiency of civilization. Like I used to believe in that bullshit, and that there was some secret trick. Like if only the Romans had known the secret trick, they could have kept the whole thing going. I used to believe it to some extent because it seemed to make sense. It was a contradiction because I also believed in small government. So again, when you're a statist and you're in that very deformed state of mind, which most people are in, a lot of very irrational beliefs make sense. That being said, another typical kind of wall of control in our society has to do with expertise. If you're not a quote unquote expert, like I don't have any credentials. I have a couple of degrees from a couple of public universities, and at this point in time, given the trajectory of higher education, it feels like I purchased a bond at the wrong rate of return. Like it feels like I purchased a bad bond. I mean, it really feels like a terrible investment because we essentially have a lot of inflationary behaviors in higher ed. The quality is going down, the relative cost is going up. So yeah, the whole thing seems like a scam to me at this point. But what is the case is that we live in a society of these quote unquote, call them gates if you want to, call them hoops, whereby the society itself, whatever that means to you, makes sure that the only voices that are heard are voices that are quote unquote filtered and voices that are approved. And not likely to make you feel too uncomfortable. Like, that's the other thing, too. It's not just that these are voices that have PhDs at the end of their name and they went to Harvard or Yale or some fucking fancy whatever university, but they're also voices that are saying things that make people feel comfortable. Like, that's the last thing you want within the media, out there in the space of information, ideas or memes that make people feel uncomfortable. At least not until the last minute. That's the thing. I remember watching, and that's the thing about these gates and these trajectories and these ways that we are managed. They are very much like Huxley, a lot less like Orwell. And this is not original. Others have said this, and I think this is a very wise statement. We are looking at a Huxley dystopia in America for the most part. And a lot of these trajectories and gates and walls and pressure points are meticulously hidden in ordinary everyday shit. And this is the thing to think about when it comes to this issue. I recall this documentary, and I forget the name of the woman, but this woman who suffered from autism, Temple Grandin, and there's this documentary, I think it was on Showtime or HBO, about Temple Grandin, and I think it's Temple Grandin, and she suffered from autism, but she revolutionized the cattle business by changing the way in which the chutes behaved for cattle so that they were less jarring, more of these curves, that their eyeballs felt safe, blah, blah, blah. Low-stress cattle harvesting. And you know what? I gotta say, maybe it is the autism, maybe it's something else, but that is essentially how a lot of technocrats see America and Americans and human beings in our country and around the world, especially how they see ordinary, everyday schlubs like you and I as a problem involving, you know, low-stress cattle harvesting. They want to figure out a way to get you through the chutes so that whatever the final destination is, and I truly don't know what it is. I don't. I mean, none of the things, when you're left in the really the bizarre situation that you're in as an ordinary person in our society with the question of why are they doing what they're doing, you have to know at the outset that they're lying to you on the TV. You have to know this. If you don't know this, you're just incredibly stupid. It doesn't mean they don't tell you some truths once in a while, but for the most part, they're telling you a narrative, and the narrative is the one they're choosing. So you are hidden behind these layers, and you're trying to figure out what they care about, what they want, who the fuck knows. But what I am fairly certain of is that this is a problem from their perspective of low stress, low psychological stress cattle harvesting. They want to build a Temple Grandin society, a society of, you know, like the one dreamt of by Hamilton, you know, the constitution that would engineer and create the perfect plantation of slaves. The Temple Grandin Hamiltonian, fancy pants, perfect slave, low drapedomania society. But if you choose, and this is the thing, there's going to come a time where this choice is not going to exist, or at least it'll be very difficult. I mean, it's not here yet, but if you choose to go outside the lines, if you choose to touch that metal barrier on the side and cause the buzzer to go off, if you choose to say, listen, I know that I am, according to demographic research, guilty of all these historical crimes, but I refuse to accept that. And more so, I refuse your bullshit. If you choose to go down that road, you are going to be isolated and ostracized and pushed outside the edge. That is reality. If you choose to go down that road, you're going to be the outsider. You know, I bring up this character, this fictional character from an H.P. Lovecraft short story, The Outsider, this character that lives essentially in a tower of a castle and will look outside and see the ordinary people and imagine being a part of that community. But when the outsider actually goes outside, the outsider realizes, holy crap, I am the monster they were keeping caged up. I am the beast. If you choose to accept that you will be in the position of the outsider, that you're going to be the beast from the perspective of family, friends, and your professional life, that people will say, you're a weirdo, you don't buy into our narrative. And this applies all the way around, because guess what? The orange hat, mega hat people are just as bad as the weird liberal, douchey, strange people. They're all kind of weird and crazy from my perspective, but they are the majority. The majority of people at this point are really the pod people. The pod people have won. They are the well-managed, low-stress cattle that go through the chutes, and God forbid you are a cow that says, you know, guys, these chutes look wonderful, and they're all smooth, and yeah, Temple Grandin, thank you for lowering our stress levels, but there's something weird happening at the end of the chute. There's something dark, something maybe even evil at the end of this tunnel. And yeah, the tunnel seems great. and it's wonderful, and we got our smartphones, and it's great. But there's something not quite right at the end of the tunnel. So I don't know. I mean, and this is kind of a long podcast because it started out for when I was thinking about this morning, it started out as kind of a meditation on why it is I'm in this terribly shitty situation. And a big part of it is I am a far from perfect human being. I screw up a lot, and sometimes I let my internal wrath and my own anger, frankly, mostly about my situation in America today. And yeah, I get angry about it. I'm not content about all of this. I'm not one of those people who's going to say, well, this is the new normal. This new normal is bullshit, because this new normal is filled with lies. And it's built on mountains of lies. And if you're willing to be one of the deceivers and not give a shit about your fellow human being, or at least not in any complex logical sense, like the one thing that still is true is the harm typical Americans do to the world is still a few degrees removed. So they don't have to think about it. They don't have to see it every day. It's not like everyday Americans are flying drones and blowing up, you know, people's homes and shit. Everyday Americans are simply mostly just paying the taxes or participating in the system that enables that. So they don't see it out of sight, out of mind. They just schedule the fucking trains. Make sure the trains arrive on time, so to speak. They just make the Doritos for the guys who schedule the trains. What the fuck? So that's the thing. As long as people don't have to see the outcomes of the evil, as long as it's so muddled and so hidden behind layers of crap, it's like it's easy for people to be in these Potemkin realities and to go through their shoots. But God forbid you be in one of these realities. And it's really bad in Seattle, in certain places like Redmond, like Westlake in downtown. There are certain parts of this area that are so removed existentially from the decay that is in Seattle. Like, listen, there's social and societal decay in Little Saigon in Seattle. It's not, it may not be observable from Westlake. What's funny is Westlake's only about a couple miles away from here. So if people actually walk 2 or 3 miles in any direction, they'd probably see that even in this wonderful utopia of commerce and techno, you know, amazingness, that yeah, there's a lot of sadness and desperation in the streets. And you can say, well, they're all just losers and they're lazy and they're scum and who cares? And if that's your attitude, that's fine. Keep in mind, though, when you're at that end of the fucking pipe, when you're on the other end of that, people are going to beat you down the same way. So yeah, you can have that attitude, or you can be more rational and say, listen, there's a percentage of people that ended up there through a lot of just terrible, avoidable mistakes and human weakness. And yeah, maybe it is just punishment, but there's a whole bunch of people that have been sucked down into a vortex. And they're constantly harangued about, well, you can just move and blah, blah, blah. Which is funny, because of this whole salt tax reform thing. A bunch of rich people came out a year ago and said, we can't just move, which is funny. Because it's usually the rich people who say, you can just move. But that's a separate topic, right? God forbid we muddle the chutes with inconsistent logical facts like the salt tax allowed rich people to game the system. Removing the state and local tax exclusion made them pay taxes the same way poor people paid them. They would give little speeches about how poor people can move to their factories wherever they want to move them on the hot potato map of the U.S. But God forbid rich people have to move because the salt tax issue. I mean, this is how fucked up America is now, is that there are obvious logical inconsistencies in the propaganda, and people don't fucking get it. If you're a poor person in America, fuck you. That is what America means now. Whatever you think the chute is telling you, and the speakers are telling you, and the little smart device is telling you, as you go down the chute, what you should be seeing, beyond the illusion, beyond the freaking veil, you should be seeing a giant flashing neon sign that says, fuck you. That is America for most Americans. I don't care if you voted for Trump or Hillary. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or socialist or crevist. Whatever the fuck political beliefs you have, I don't care. You are a well-managed, low-stress chunk of cattle moving down a chute, and you think it's happy and you think it's great, but really, right above your eyes, if you could just look up from your smart device for a few seconds, you'll see a flashing neon sign that says, fuck you.